Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with my good buddy Landon Tangwall. Landon, how are we doing this week? Did you have a great weekend, my friend?
Yes, sir, Jim. We are doing great. Had some great weather here in State College, and you know, everything's going well. We're recording on Sunday. It's St. Patrick's Day, so I hope everybody had, once this will be airing, I hope everybody had a great St. Patrick's Day and enjoyed some green.
And most importantly, you got out on the golf course this past week, didn't you?
Yeah, I would say if you know, the blue course here at Penn State, the main course, I think I had 5 or 6 tee times there this week alone. So I was actually, I spent yesterday with a heating pad on my back there watching, I'm watching Sopranos currently. So I'm on season 6, if anybody is into that. But I was sitting there with a heating pad on my lower back because I played way too much. And thankfully, it's going to be kind of gross this coming week because I need to take a break. But I absolutely have what they call the golf bug. It is totally in me, and I can't get rid of it, Jim.
What I found interesting, and you and I have talked about this ever since we met, you said a lot of the players have that same golf bug as you, don't they?
Oh, they do. They absolutely do. And obviously, they just got into spring ball right now. But once spring ball ends, you know, April 15th, you're going to see a lot of the boys out on the course. I'd say we got about 20, 25 guys that really like to golf pretty frequently. So it's fun, and it's really easy to get a good foursome together and get out there on the course. So, and you know, it's always a good time to get out there and just shoot around with the boys and have a good time.
Well, we'll be talking about that in the future, and you and I will definitely get out and play. Mm. All right, Landon, our topic for today, it's kind of interesting, very interesting, I should say, to me. We've done shows in the past where we get kind of that peek behind the curtain. You as a player have been able to help us out. You've talked to us about, you know, what the off season is like, what's it like to travel with the team. And I got to give credit to one of our really good listeners, and that is a guy by the name of Chris Kaminsky. Great listener of the show. He sent this idea. He said, Jim, if you get a chance with Landon, I would love to hear more about the entire recruiting process. What's it like to be a high school football player and then work its way up to the day you sign the paperwork and you show up in State College? And so I would like to really go in depth with you what that whole concept is like, because the lay people, we really do not know what goes on with that. The fact is, it's changed quite a bit probably since you've even been recruited, just in the couple years with NIL. But let's talk about the whole process for you. First off, when did you start getting recruited? What grade were you in? How old were you? And how did that first contact happen?
Yeah, so for me, it actually started very early. It was my 8th grade spring, summer, kind of going into that 9th grade, that freshman year of high school. And I've actually just recently told this story on State Media, the Lions Den podcast with Hawk and Doc and those guys. And I came up to a camp here, I'd say around June, going into 9th grade year. And I had a really good camp. It was one-on-ones, went really well. Well, come to find out, one of the one-on-ones I did and that I won was against Yetur Gross-Matos. And he was a senior at the time, but about to be a freshman in college. So sometimes if you're about to be a freshman, but you're not early enrolling, they'll have you come up and, you know, show out at camp and kind of see what you can do before you get here in July, August. Some guys will come in really late. So they had Yetur, even though he was about to be a freshman in college, he was, you know, participating at the camp. And so here's an 8th grader, almost 9th grader, locking up their top DN recruit. So pretty quickly after that, I won the MVP of the camp for the offensive line. It was Coach Limegrover at the time. And then I just, from there, recruitment kind of just took off. Maryland, Penn State. And then by the end of my freshman year, I think I had like 30 offers. So obviously it's not like that for everybody, but it was definitely a very unique and interesting time. I think a lot of guys see that big burst their junior year where they're, you know, maybe on JV their freshman year, and then it takes them some time to get going. And then they see that 20, 30 offer, you know, big time burst their junior year and kind of just raising up the ranks in the rankings, becoming a 4-star, 5-star. That's when you see a lot of guys start to move around. But I also did. I benefited. I was on this high school team called St. Vincent Pilate. where Blake Corum was actually our running back. I've spoken about that. We actually used to be roommates. He used to live with me. Koziah Izzard, who's on our team right now, a defensive lineman, he was also at Pilate, and they were both five stars at the time. So I got a lot of exposure from them. That definitely helped out. And they were both big in the Penn State recruiting trail. So that was kind of my origin story. But kind of going back into freshman year, and like I said, this is a very different timeline for different guys. For me, this happened freshman year. Other guys, it might happen more junior, senior year. But it's really fun when you start getting those first offers as a recruit. So you'll be in class, you'll be in math, you know, you'll be in algebra two, and then you get a text from your coach, your head coach at the high school, and he'll say, hey, I need you to find a way to come down to my office, you know, ask to go to the bathroom or something. And you'll be like, all right, Miss Teacher, can I go to the bathroom? And you leave and you don't come back for like 15 minutes because you're out there talking to like Nick Saban or something. It's like, man, forget algebra two right now. But you'll go down, and I still remember like Virginia Tech was my first in-person offer. And I'll never forget when I shook the coach. It was actually Holloman Wiggins. He's a really good wide receivers coach. He was the wide receivers coach at Bama this past year. He's done a really good job. But at the time, he was at Virginia Tech. And I remember him shaking my hand because at the time, Maryland and Penn State, the offers were over the phone. So this one was a little more surreal because it was my first in-person offer. And I remember actually kind of going blank for about 2 or 3 seconds. Like, it was an out-of-body experience when, you know, really the first time you hear in person, you know, we want to offer you a full-ride scholarship to our university. And so that was a really cool thing. I'll never forget getting offered by Virginia Tech, even though I had no intentions of going to Virginia Tech. That offer was very cool because it was my first in-person offer. So I really enjoyed that. But it was, you know, that time, it's really fun. It's the coaches do a great job, especially in my high school, of kind of pushing the college coaches to get us that offer. There's some schools that will say to you, hey, we can't offer you until you come to camp, until you come to campus and visit us. We need to get eyes on you at campus. We need to get our head coach, our strength staff, et cetera, get their eyes on you and kind of talk to you. So that's kind of the initial recruiting process. When you get going at the beginning, you start to accumulate those offers.
Now, when did that offer come from Virginia Tech?
That was like early September of 2017, which was my freshman year of high school. This is kind of a funny story as well. So at the time, Maryland had essentially silent offered me. It was a weird thing. Offers are very fake. When you give someone an offer who's under a junior, if they're a freshman, eighth grader, sophomore, whatever it may be, the offer doesn't actually really mean anything. It just says, you know, hey, we have interest in you. But until you get that official offer after September 1st of your junior year, that offer really doesn't mean much and doesn't hold any bearing. But Maryland, so I had played in an eighth grade spring league, kind of getting ready for that first high school season. And this is when I've told this story a couple times, but I was in the eighth grade fall. I was a wide receiver. I was 180 pounds. I was still 6'5", but I was about 180 pounds. And, I had expressed to my dad, hey, I want to play college football. I want to try to go do this. And he said, all right, you're not going to do it playing wide receiver, son. He said, you run like a 5'2" and you're like 180 pounds. We need to figure something else out. So we make the whole switch to decide to play offensive line. And I'm making a very conceited effort to put on a lot of weight and good weight at that. I was working out 2 times a day. My middle school didn't start till 9:15, so I'd work out in the morning, come back, work out in the afternoon. This is after my fall eighth grade season, and just constantly eating. Next thing you know, it's April, four or five months after that eighth grade season, and I've put on, you know, 90 pounds almost. I'm like 270. Wow. I'm around there. So it was really, like I said, it was a credit to my family. They did a great job getting me all the food, all the, you know, workout equipment that I needed. But I was busting my butt because I knew what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to play football at the next level. And so I'm playing this eighth grade, you know, spring league, and it's in Maryland. We actually have a game. My first game is at University of Maryland. And so the University of Maryland coaches, they get their eyes on me, and they essentially come over to me and say, hey, you have an offer, but we don't want you to post it yet. Because we have other, listen to this, Jim, because we got other guys that we have that are in your class, your eighth grade going into ninth grade class, that we want to offer, but we're not ready to tell them yet, and we don't want them to get jealous. And I'm like, man, I don't. It was politicking all over the place. It was pretty crazy. And then I'll never forget that summer, another guy in my class, he had went on, and I see him post, blessed to receive an offer from University of Maryland. So I hit up the coaches, and I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? So they let me know. They say, hey, you can post it. You can post it while you're in camp in August. Once you get into camp and once football season starts, you go ahead and post it. So I posted. I'll never forget. And Maryland was my first offer. Penn State, it wasn't an official offer after that camp, but it was clear they had very big interest. And I wasn't too worried about it because Penn State was, you know, a little bit of a bigger school than Maryland. So I go to post this offer from University of Maryland that, you know, they told me, hey, you can post it in at this point, it's, you know, they tell me, hey, you can post it in about a month and a half. So I go to post it. I get about 30 minutes after I put this post out on Twitter, I get a call from one of the University of Maryland guys, and they say, hey, we need you to take that offer down right now. It's no good. You can't post it yet. It hasn't been cleared. And I said, well, you guys told me this. So by the way, this is the first time I've ever shared this story out there. And I feel comfortable because I do hate University of Maryland. So I feel okay putting this out there now. But they told me that I couldn't have it out there. And that, I'm going to be honest, that really hurt Maryland's chances with me. It was one of those things. It's like, you really believe you're not going to offer me ever. So why not just let me have it now? But telling me to take down an offer from you, that's going to hurt your chances. So honestly, that mixed with a couple other things, everybody knows what kind of went on with Maryland in that time where, a player passed away, and that was a really difficult time, big coaching change with Maryland. But that initial, interesting, you know, that whole situation kind of ruffled my feathers with University of Maryland. But that was technically my first offer. That was a little bit of a long story, Jim, but that was, if you want to understand why I have some bad blood with Maryland, and I always love when we beat up on them, that is why, because I was jerked around by the Maryland coaches back then. None of them are even there now, but I was jerked around by those guys, and I wasn't too happy about it. So I always keep a little bad blood with Maryland, and always those games mean a little bit extra to us Maryland guys, and specifically me.
Well, I would think that losing trust is such a big thing. And as a, you would think schools, they go through this recruiting process, obviously, you know, year after year, you think that they would understand how valuable that is. And just that kind of slip up is the kind of thing that could ruin your opportunity. All right, Landon, we got lots more to talk about with your recruiting process. We're going to pick that up when we get back for quarter number two. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Landon, the famous Landon Tengwall, who went through the recruiting process. Now, the one thing you didn't mention, you talked about the story the first time you went to a Penn State camp. And you did really well as a young player competing against Iter Gross Matos, who was incoming player at Penn State. And you're going to be a freshman in high school, and you handled them pretty well. What's been unsaid here, Landon, is you were a very, very highly recruited guy. You were a top-level recruit. So for you, some of that interest came very early, perhaps earlier than many other players. A couple questions for you, though. Like, you mentioned that camp at Penn State. Who initiated that? Did you choose to go to that camp, or was that, say, Penn State invited you to come to the camp?
Yeah, so that camp happened because Penn State holds a big man challenge every year along with their 7-on-7. And I'd say they do a fantastic job of this, and this is the type of stuff that the fans don't really hear about. They'll see pictures, but Penn State has probably the best camp I've ever been to. It's huge. It takes up, you know, the stadium, the practice fields, and all the intramural fields along the backside of the campus. So they put on, and it's a lot that goes into it, these huge 7-on-7 tournaments back on the intramural fields. And so my high school at the time, really all the high schools in the PA, Ohio, you know, DMV, you know, Maryland, DC area, that type of thing, Virginia, if they're at all good high school, they're making their way up to this big man / 7-on-7 challenge. So you'll have 500 linemen plus at the Lash football facility, and that's where the big man challenge will take place. And then, like I said, those intramural fields back by the Arboretum, kind of back there, if anybody's familiar with that, are completely taken up by tons of high school teams. I mean, I remember watching Micah play against my high school team in 7-on-7, Julian Fleming. So it's a lot of crossover. You play a lot of teams that you wouldn't normally see in high school football. But no, it was all because my high school decided to come up. So I came up that first year with the team that I mentioned, where Blake Corum, Kosiah Izzard, St. Vincent Pilate High School. I came up with them, and they kind of brought me up. And I really wasn't too well known. But like I said, it would really help that I had some high profile 5-star guys that were at my high school. They brought me up, and then kind of, like I said, I was obviously a really big kid and stood out. So the coaches were already interested. And then once they saw kind of what I could do on the field, they got excited, especially. And I told this story about me going up and locking down Yetur, and that state media had put one of the clips, and I put it to my Instagram. I posted it, and Yetur actually recently, this past week, commented on my Instagram, and he said, "Man, I don't remember this. I need to see the clips." And I responded, I said, "Hey, man, they must have them in Lash in the archives somewhere." But it was funny. He claims he doesn't remember it, but he's doing pretty good for himself out in San Francisco. Just got a new contract, so very happy for Yetur. He's still balling. But yeah, back to the camps. It's a really cool time. I've seen a lot of guys kind of get their start at these camps. Olu Fashanu had a couple really good showings at these camps. That's where he got the Penn State offer from. But a lot of different guys we've seen excel at these camps. And like I said, Penn State does a phenomenal job. And just to give a little more insight as to why guys love it so much, especially the big man camp, like I said, it's over 500 linemen. So you come in the morning, kind of competition. The coaches will take you through five or six stations of pass pro or run game technique, kind of just taking you through that, teaching you something. So Coach Trout, they'll bring in coaches from some smaller school coaches too, from the PA, Ohio, you know, DMV area, to kind of help out, because they can't manage 500 kids on their own. And there's also going to be kids of all caliber. There's going to be a lot of kids that are not Penn State caliber, but you know, you have Merrimack here, and they might see a guy they really like. So that's it's kind of called a satellite camp, where you bring in other colleges that might be a little bit below you in to help out with some of those younger kids that show up. But they do a fantastic job the beginning, and then you do those five or six drills, transition into a one-on-one period where the coaches really get to see, okay, you know, what are the top guys, and they'll move you. If you're in a lower group and you start to excel, you win three reps in a row, they'll say, hey, you go up to the A group and, you know, go against the top guys. So I worked my way up, got all the way up to the A group, and then still won a couple reps. So that was really fun. And then you kind of have a break, lunch period, and then you come back. And then most people come up with teams. You come up with your high school team. And then Penn State designs essentially a 13 or 14 station, essentially like an offensive line relay type deal, where you have a bag toss, you have grip test, you have dumbbell carry, you have a rope pull. They do a really good job of making it fun and trying to get all the kids involved and having a really good time. So they do a good job of competing in the earlier setting, in a one-on-one setting. But then you get to come in and compete with your team and compete together. And then they'll tally up all the scores of how you do at each station and then come out, and they'll let you know which team won the big man challenge. And I actually, every single year I was here, Jim, I was here with my freshman year team, Pilate. We won, and then I came back with good counsel, a little bit of a higher grade team, and we won every single year, going against Gonzaga, where Olu and DeMatha, where Golden Achumba and those guys are from. So we'd go against some good teams, but I always seem to come away with a W up here, Jim. So that, I don't know if that played a little process in me wanting to come back to Penn State But maybe it was a good idea on their end to make sure my team always won, because I don't know how they calculated it, but I always seem to come away with a gold medal. So they did a good job.
Winner's gonna win, Landon. Winner's gonna win.
But saying all that to say, Penn State does a fantastic job in the offseason with these recruiting camps and just kind of how they go about it. They do it very different than any other school, and it really gets the kids involved and wanting to come back to Penn State. So you get someone who maybe came as a freshman, and let's say they weren't that 4 or 5 star that I talked about earlier. Some guys are later bloomers. Now they're coming back as a junior and saying, hey, I want to come back to the Penn State camp. It's awesome. And now next thing you know, they're balling out. They got a 4-star status, and they love to come to camp. Now the coaches actually get to get eyes on them. And if you believe it, I mean, it's not easy to get guys to camp, especially if they live farther away. A lot of guys don't have the funds and the means to come to Penn State and get a hotel and drive 300 miles and all that stuff. So it's not easy to get guys to camp. So having that lucrative, fun camp actually means a lot to Penn State.
Now, in talking about the camps and mentioning, you know, the price to come there, are there ways, if you're Penn State and you really want this kid to come to your camp, can you pay for the camp? Could the school pay for it? Or is it always on the individual that has to pay, foot the bill for, you know, hotel? Or do they open up the dorms to allow campers to stay? How does that all work financially?
Yeah. So funny enough, you mentioned earlier that things have changed since I got out of the recruiting process. Back in my time, no. If you didn't have the money, if your family did not have the money, the coaching staff at Penn State could absolutely do nothing to help you out. If they even find, you know, a family here at Penn State to help you stay here, that's a recruiting violation too. It doesn't matter how they're affiliated with Penn State. It just all around was a recruiting violation. Now with NIL, and funny enough, I actually just had a meeting last night with a couple people about this that are in the process of this being their main point of emphasis. They're creating an NIL company that they actually have about 50 schools right now that essentially is all about getting hotels for student athletes, getting hotels for parents, whether that be coming to visit once their kids are already enrolled at campus, you know, coming to games when the parents need the hotels, but also in this situation, and they spoke about this last night when I was speaking with them, is that they want to get recruits that don't have the funds to get to these camps to come in and show the coaches, you know, the talent that they have. They want to be able to get those kids up here, pay for the transportation, pay for the hotel, you know, whatever that may be, whatever that looks like. So there is a push in NIL to help on this front, to allow athletes to have more exposure, especially the ones that don't have the funds necessary. And yes, this is now completely legal. And we've seen, we don't really know what isn't legal at this point because NCAA keeps getting their butts kicked in courts, Jim. So I think the players and the coaches and the universities can kind of continue to just stretch this to see how far it can go. But yes, there's an emphasis by universities, by these NIL collectives to try to help out these especially underprivileged kids and give them an opportunity that everybody else has to come showcase themselves at these camps.
And I think it's also more than just the NCAA when you're talking about high school kids. I think there are state laws involved with that, and the laws are different depending on what state you're in. Let's get back to the nitty-gritty of recruiting. Using your example, you went to the Penn State camp prior to your freshman year, so now it's obvious that you're a player. You're someone that you're in demand. How do the schools now keep in contact with you? How often? So like Penn State's now, this guy Landon, he's going to be a freshman. How do they keep in touch with you? Are they sending you mail every day? Are they calling you? Are they in contact with your coaches? How does that work?
Yeah, so you are not allowed to have any direct contact with a coach until September 1st of your junior year in high school. So, you know, obviously that's kind of getting – these barriers are continuing to get pulled back and pulled back more and more where guys really are not following rules. But when I was in high school and I was a freshman and a sophomore, all the communication went through my high school coach. The only time you're allowed to have contact with a coach is if you're on campus. If you're on campus, if you're trying to set something up, you're on campus, they can send you a text once you're here. And then obviously once you're in the facility, they can talk to you and anybody can have those conversations with you. But let's say I'm at home in Maryland, Franklin, Coach Troutwine, none of those guys are allowed to just text me, shoot me a text out of the blue. That is completely illegal. So let's say, you know, Penn State wants me to come up for a junior day this weekend, and we can get into this in a second. They'll text my high school coach and say, hey, we want Landon to come up for his junior day. Find out if he can come up for these dates. And then my high school coach is going to text me and say, hey, I just got this text from Penn State. What are you thinking? Do you want to go? These high school coaches really are very important in this recruiting process, especially for guys that get going earlier on, like me in their freshman, sophomore year. It essentially all goes through them, and they do hold a lot of power. Because I've heard stories and I've seen it where high school coaches don't really like a guy, and they'll kind of withhold some stuff. They'll withhold offers. They're going to withhold phone calls. So it is very important to have a good high school coach that wants to see you do really well and succeed at the next level. But yeah, that has to go through, and they can't contact the parents either. That's also a violation. And these coaches, they have to actually, when they go out on these recruiting trips, they have to come back and they have to report any type of violation they think they committed. If they accidentally texted a recruit, they have to report that. I've seen that a butt dial, and they have to report it because they're not allowed to have any type of contact.
Very good, Landon. All right, that is going to be it for quarter two. I have so many more questions for you on this whole process, and that's amazing to me. I'm going to ask you about that, coaches not being able to reach out to you, but they can to your coach. That's pretty interesting. We'll talk about it on the other side. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. We're doing a special show with Landon about the whole recruiting process and specifically how he went through that process. And Landon, when we were last talking, it was interesting. You talked about prior to your junior season, coaches can't contact you directly other than they have the contact during those camps, obviously. They have to go through a coach. So if the team wants you to come to their camp, they got to talk to your coach, who has to talk to you. My first instinct is, that's ridiculous. Except on the other side, you're 15, 16 years old. If coaches are just allowed to reach out to you directly, I would imagine those rules are designed to protect the players.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. It does sound like, hey, you're kind of restricting guys' ability. But then on the flip side, you like you said, 15, 16. I mean, some freshmen are even 13, 14 years old. And to allow college coaches to just have complete access to them and constantly call them, I think one is a little inappropriate, and two, it can be a lot for a young athlete to have that on their mind. So I think it's good that it's set, capped at the beginning of your junior season when you can kind of have a little bit more of a grasp on everything. But I will tell you, there's some coaches that will just completely disregard it and call guys and do that anyways. And then there's some coaches that they'll find their way onto something like Snapchat, add guys on Snapchat and stuff disappears. So you can, just have small conversation and just check in on guys somewhat illegally. So I've heard stories of that. No one I know, Jim, we're not a snitch here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, but that has been known to happen in the past.
That's a future show. That's our whistleblower show. Yeah. We'll do that another time, man. All right. Let's progress a little bit. Let's fast forward to that junior year. Now where teams are able to contact you. We hear these stories about the coach who will text every day, call every day, just to show how badly they want you. Tell me about that process. Now that you hit your junior year, you're essentially available to all the coaches. How does that work? How often are people calling you? How often are they texting you? What does that whole process become once you get past that barrier?
Yeah, so it's really cool at first. On September 1st, you get a bucket full of mail. If you're a high-level recruit, and at the time, I think I was still a five-star. I would fluctuate between 5 and 4. It kind of just depended. But I was always kind of a top 75 recruit. Not to toot my own horn, guys. I'm sorry. Okay. Now that I'm retired, I like to do it a little bit, Jim. But
you know what, Landon? There's nothing wrong with reporting the truth. That's not bragging if it's facts. So
there you go.
Allowed.
I appreciate it, Jim. I appreciate the go ahead. So initially you wake up, and I remember my dad, actually we were leaving for school that morning, and the mailman, who I ended up having a really good relationship with, because he would see just mail after June, because you can't get any mail until September 1st of your junior year. And then the mail just pours in, because, you know, they want to send as much as possible. They want to, you know, they want to keep themselves on your mind. They want you to feel special. So there's some schools that will send, I mean, truly 100 pieces of mail at a time. So my mailman's coming through, and probably that first day, September 1st, I mean, thousands. Like, I still have a couple bins in my garage at my home at my dad's house. I mean, just tons of mail. So that's a very cool feeling right away. The other side of that, I woke up and I turned my phone off purposely the night before, at midnight. And I woke up to, I mean, an unbelievable amount of text messages, probably over 500. And so I actually ended up, a couple weeks later, I ended up changing my phone number. Because at this point in my junior year, going into my junior season, well, one, I was already decided I was coming to Penn State. I had not put that out there yet. I believe at the time, I hadn't released my top three yet. I released my top three about halfway through my junior season, which was Notre Dame, Maryland, and Penn State. But I there was way too much contact. There was, and this is why I think that rule was good. I think if you're a high level, you know, 4 or 5 star recruit as a freshman, getting that type of stuff, that type of attention on your phone from college coaches is really unhealthy. And I think it can kind of pull you out of what you really need to be focusing on, which is still your high school team, getting better each day, especially when you're that young. So it is a complete, you're just bombarded with mail, with text messages, with calls. I had a ton of missed calls at 12 a.m. that night. Coaches were calling me at midnight on a school night. I think it was like a Tuesday. So like I said, it can be very inappropriate. So very quickly changed my phone number, got that done. And then obviously just gave my new phone number to the coaches that I wanted to have it, you know, maybe five to eight schools only had my new phone number because it started to get out of hand. And funny enough, I have a quick story about this. The guy who got my old number, at one point, you know, I had set up a, you know, Venmo notification with that number or something. And it got sent to him, and I needed to reach out to him. And I said, hey, you know, I'm the person that used to have this phone number. Can I get that code? And I was on the phone with him, and he said, yeah, and he sent it to me. And he said, by the way, having this phone number has been absolute hell for me. He said, I wish it would have came with a cautionary tag on it, because I will get an insane amount of texts just from random people all the time. He said, I've come to enjoy it. Me and my wife will sit there, and we'll laugh about some of the calls or texts that I get. But this poor guy somewhere in Maryland was getting bombarded with texts for a while. I think they've died down now, but that was So it, just from a standpoint of the contact, the coaches do go overboard because they want to make you feel special. But sometimes it can be a lot, and I think the problem, especially with NIL now, and we were talking off air. There's different states that allow NIL in high school, and some don't. I know PA and New York, it's legal. I'm not sure about other states, but you know. NIL in high school now, you got college coaches bombarding you with text messages, calls, paper trail, you know, and they're in your mail. You can start to lose sight of it really quickly. And it went from a sport that you just love to play and you're really good at, and now all your focus is college football. You don't care about winning, you know, a state championship with your local high school team, that type of deal. And it can kind of be sad. And I've seen it, especially now, you know, now more so than before, is these guys just start to get lost and not care about high school football. And I think anybody who played high school football understands that is, without a doubt, the purest form of football. Those Friday night lights, I'm getting chills even talking about it, with, you know, just your friends that you grew up with. There's nothing like it. So I think it's really sad to kind of see that direction that it's going. But it all trickles down. When college starts to become, you know, not really amateurism anymore, that's starting to trickle down to high school. And I think we're going to see high school start to be very different. And I've spoken about the league that I played in, you know, playing Caleb Williams every year. Olufoshana was on that team. We played some really good teams. Those top 25 high school, you know, programs around the nation that have national schedules, those guys are going to start to make money. There's going to start to be money pumping into these high schools with NIL. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's where we're headed, Jim. I mean, it is definitely new times.
It's definitely going to be part of that. And I'm going to give a word of caution to old guys like me, Landon, and you know this. It's not the same game as how could those kids, all they worry about is the money. Well, put yourself in those shoes where those of us who are out in the working world, someone comes up to you and offers you a job that pays more. You're going to listen. You're going to pay attention. That paycheck does matter. Now imagine going through that process and you're 16 years old. Of course you're going to listen to it and respond to it. So, you know, a word of warning to us old guys who are passing judgment. Be careful. Anyway, let's go back to the whole recruiting process, Landon. So you talked about narrowing it down to Maryland, Notre Dame, Penn State as your finalists. You told us what your thoughts were on Maryland, but how did you do that process of narrowing it down? What were the things you were looking for? And again, NIL was not part of the equation when you came in. So what was academics? Was the atmosphere? What made you say, you know what, Penn State is the place I want to be?
Yeah, I think real quick to say, I do think, unfortunately, NIL is now the number one thing for almost every recruit, which is sad because that is a big change from what it was just 4 years ago when I was committing. But for me, and this is how it is for a lot of guys, number one for me was proximity. I really did not want to go. I really enjoyed Notre Dame. I really liked them. But no matter how I spun it, I'm from Annapolis, Maryland. It was a 2.5 hour plane ride and then another 2 hour car ride. Unless you fly right into South Bend, very hard to get to and very hard for me to see my family often. That was really big for me. So being able to see my family, I'm a very family oriented guy, and that's how a lot of people are. I think that's why you see a lot of guys stay home. So that was one of my big ones. And then the coaching staff, you know, as much as you know that the coaching staff is going to change, those assistant coaches, Coach Franklin, I just from day one, I had a lot of love for him. I really loved his philosophies and how he went about coaching, his coaching styles. And that was really important. And then I'd say, you know, a university as a whole, the Penn State name, understanding what that means when you get a degree from Penn State. I kind of already know, I knew about that. I had been around Penn State. I think someone from 24/7 Sports once told me, I think I came up here 24 times as a recruit. So that was kind of, you know, it was about that feel as well. You know, some guys would say it's just that feeling that you get when you get on campus. But it was a lot of things that went into it. But the coaching staff, you know, the school recognition / the academics, obviously getting a degree from Penn State means a lot, you know, academia wise. But also on the flip side, you know, we have the biggest connections, alumni base out there. And it's just that means a lot to me. And I was always thinking about life after football. Obviously came a little bit quicker than I expected, but that was something that was always on my mind. And then on the flip side, one of the things that was the biggest for me is, you know, next weekend I'm driving home to see my mom because I'm able to. It's about 3 hours, and that's really not too bad. If I went somewhere in Notre Dame, it's really not that easy to get home, and it's, you know, quite expensive adding a flight on there and that whole deal. So I think a lot of guys, that's some of the big things that go into that process. But like I said, I really don't know if it's like that anymore. I really think the number one thing, and we could talk about this, you know, another time, but Nick Saban was in court saying his wife is saying, hey, what does this stuff matter anymore? You know, they just, all they're asking is, how much is my son going to make? How much money can you give my son? It doesn't matter about what are you going to sculpt him into anymore? You know, what kind of man are they going to be? How are they going to develop these guys? It's how much money are you offering? So now he said some other things that I don't agree with, but there is that side. And I do think that is a big, for a lot of guys, that's the number one thing. How much are you going to offer me in NIL? What is my max? What is my cap? What can I make here? Those are the type of questions they're asking instead of, you know, how can you mold me? What kind of player can I be? It's all about the money.
Well, Landon, you and I are going to talk about that whole Nick Saban thing. We're going to hold that for another week because we both have a lot to say. Just a quick preview. Salty Jim will show up in that conversation. But we got more to talk about with the recruiting process. We'll get back to that when we come back in quarter four. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We are talking about that whole recruiting process. We are so fortunate to have Landon with us, who just a couple years ago went through the process. I say it's just a couple years ago. It may have been, well, be a century ago, the way things have changed, Landon. And that's mostly because of NIL. And we were chatting about that, how much different that is. But if you think about it, I want to say to our listeners, people who are out, you know, getting upset by this, think about when you go do a job interview, okay? Sure, you talk about a lot of different things with the job, but if you get offered the job and not told how much you're going to make, you're not going to be very happy. That's important, okay? Now, maybe the young people don't know that as we go out on job interviews, we don't ask that money question first, but ultimately we need to know, and that's a very important, if not the most important aspect of it. So I just remind you to think about that when you talk about these young people who are going through this process. But the part of the process we haven't hit, Landon, which I assume is really, really important, is when you start to make your visits to the different schools. What I want to hear about is, what's the difference between an official and an unofficial visit?
So when you're coming for an unofficial visit, it can be anything as small as coming out to a practice for 30 minutes or stopping by the facility and, you know, just saying what's up to the coaches. Those are normally smaller. And obviously that's when you're not as solidified as a recruit. If you're taking unofficial, you might not, you know, really anybody can take those and kind of finagle their way into the facility. Now, an official visit has to be after, I believe it's after the end of your junior season. So you have to be, you know, finish your junior season, headed into your senior season, essentially. And they'll bring you here. You get to a hotel room. And now they actually just changed this rule. You used to have a ton of gifts in your hotel room. You'd walk in, there'd be a cake, all the your favorite candy, chips, pictures of yourselves all over. I mean, they'd have the whole room decorated. I don't know why NCAA, you know, they got a lot of things to handle. So I don't know why they felt that this was important, but they made it illegal to decorate the room. Any presents they want to give you on your official visits now have to be handed to you while you're walking in the hotel. I don't know why that needed to be changed, Jim, but to give you some specific background, that's been changed. Also, on unofficial visits, you always see these guys putting on the Penn State uniform, or, you know, really anywhere, putting on the uniform, taking photos. That is now against the rules. Players are not allowed to – they are only allowed to put on the uniform for official visits. They're not allowed to put them on – and on any type of unofficial visit. So that was a big thing growing up. That's what my class, my age group cared about. I don't think those guys even really care about it too much anymore. It really is just, how much money am I going to make? I think I'm alienating my fellow student athletes a little bit to the fan base, but it is a different time. So, but going back to the difference, it's those official visit weekends. They're a whole 2-3 day weekends, and they have, you come in, you can bring as many family members as you'd like, and they're paying for the hotel. And that is another big difference. Official visits, your trip is completely paid for. You can get a car service. If you need air travel, if you're farther away, they'll get you your plane tickets and then fully take care of all the hotel responsibilities as well. So for Penn State, they kind of they put their official visits in June. Every weekend in June, there are big official visit weekends for Penn State. And you don't have to take it in June, but it's more fun when you take an official visit with another, you know, 15, 20 guys. And that's how you build those relationships. You might not necessarily go to a school with those guys, but you say, hey, I remember two or three guys that were on my official visit that I've known since that time. And now we've been through college together. And that's kind of the origin story. So it's cool to have those stories. But it's essentially a lot of food. It's a lot of educating. It's a lot of showing around, you know, last football facility, the academic side, showing where the athletes are going to stay on the official, you know, stay once they enroll here. So the official visits is really trying to give those not only the players, but it's really a lot more for the parents and the family, kind of showing them the loving atmosphere. It's a lot of barbecue cookouts, you know, having a good time, you know, beanbag toss, that whole type of deal. So it's getting the families comfortable with the idea of their son coming to this university, which, like I said, on the flip side with unofficials, a lot of guys will just come up maybe with their coach or just one parent, something like that. It's very quick, in and out. These official visits are long, drawn out weekends. There's actually a big donor named Don Abbey that actually lives right up the street right here. He has a huge mansion with a huge pool, and every official visit Saturday, they threw a big pool party with all the families, all the student athletes that are on that official visit. And then they get the players involved too. They do a good job here at Penn State of essentially you get assigned someone when they come to visit. So if there's, let's say they're bringing in three linemen for an official visit, Coach Trout's going to text, you know, me, Olu, someone else, Nick Dawkins, and say, hey, you're with this guy for the weekend. And then you do get a stipend. So you get taken care of for taking care of these guys. You get a little stipend for doing it, but it's fun. You have a good time. And especially since it's warmer out, you'll bring the, you know, recruits to some type of fun event, stuff like that, around State College. If you're reading between the lines, you know, you can understand what I'm saying. So you show the recruits a good time. That's essentially what it's about. And then the parents will go off with the coaches later in the night, and they kind of have a parent social with the coaches while the players go off, while the recruits go off with the current players here at Penn State, and kind of hang out, and we'll show them the ropes around town. So that's kind of how the official visit goes down, and the players and the families get a good taste of what the school is like, what the atmosphere is like, and kind of what the whole family situation is. It more of a family oriented team/coach, which Coach Frankman is very big on family, or is it more, hey, this is business, this is football, kind of how we've seen from Nick Saban? It's a little more, you know, it's this is business, we're getting football done here, obviously still caring about academia, but you get a feel for all that on these official visits, which you don't really get on those unofficial visits.
Okay, let's say you've now made your commitment to Penn State. How does the world change? Do they treat you any differently? Do they send you information? I know they can't send you a playbook, but do they send you like some kind of, hey, we expect you to work out this way because we want you to put on weight. We want you to eat this way so you lose weight. What happens after you make a commitment?
Yeah, so the coaching staff, obviously you're not talking to anybody else. It's like you're talking to a couple girls, Jim, and now it's just one. Now you're only talking to one, so you're putting all your time and energy into that one girl, and she's putting it back into you.
So, you put a ring on it.
As Beyonce said, you put a ring on it. So first off, it's that conversation with those other schools that are in your top three, top five, letting them know, hey, this is where I'm going. And I had some tough conversations. Notre Dame, I remember Jeff Quinn was the offensive line coach at the time. And I believe he's down at LSU with Brian Kelly. And it was rough. I mean, he did not want me to hang up the phone. And he was saying, hey, you know, give me another chance. We need to talk. We need to get you on the phone with Coach Kelly again. And I'm like, Coach, it's over. It's done. I'm headed to Penn State. I wanted to let you know in advance, you know, et cetera. So at first, it's letting those other schools know that you kind of were in your top schools, letting them know your decision. Once you get informed, once you inform the, you know, the Penn State staff, some people won't tell them before they commit, or some will tell them, you know, months in advance before they commit. Some schools don't find out until that commitment day. But once you commit, it is a little bit different. They're not going to treat you different as far as how, when you come in, when you're a freshman, when you step on campus, it gets a little different. You go, oh man, Where was all this love that I was getting? I'm getting yelled at every turn. So that doesn't change. You're still getting all that love once you're committed, and maybe even a little bit more to make sure you don't flip. But you know, there are those conversations with the nutritionist. Say you're someone who's definitely a little overweight. If you're a big lineman and you're overweight, they might say, hey, you know, start to think about losing weight here. Try, you know, this, you know, try dieting a little bit. I've had some conversations with our nutritionist when I was still in high school, just asking her questions. Now I was very intrigued by it and trying to, you know, be at my physical peak coming in. But they'll do that. And also, if you don't early enroll, by the time once you sign, you are then able to receive, you know, workout information from the strength coach. So let's say you sign here in January, but you don't come in with the guy with the early enrollees in January. Coach Losey can then send you know, a nice workout program over to you for that spring while the guys are in spring ball and working out with the team. You know, those guys in your same class that early enrolled, well, now those other guys that didn't early enroll and they're still at their high schools, they can get that, you know, nutrition packet. They can get that workout program from the Penn State coaches, but you do have to be signed at that period.
So the verbal commitment really doesn't mean anything officially. It's not until you sign the paperwork that the rules change.
Correct. Yeah. But honestly, yeah, it doesn't, that verbal commitment has never meant much. And honestly, even now signing, as we've seen, Jim, with NIL and the transfer portal, I don't even know if signing means anything these days. I mean, it's one of, we've seen a couple guys sign and they're out of there halfway through their freshman year. So, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. We would like to see guys maybe locked in to some contracts. But yes, to answer your question, when you officially sign that paper, it does change a lot of the rules surrounding the contact with you. You know, your rules about coming up on campus, staying on campus, being around the team. It's a lot easier and everything's a lot more lax because at that point, you are kind of technically a part of the team. You're kind of just waiting either to get there in January or get there in June when the other guys, when the later guys enroll.
And finally, last question, Landon, you went through this a few years ago. If we have listeners out there, high school players, what advice would you have for them going through the process?
Yeah, especially more now than ever, I would say try to keep your eyes on the prize. You know, every day, just get up and try to get better at one thing, whether that be your mentality, whether that be something specific football oriented or whatever sport you're in. You know, continue to try to get better each day and don't get lost, especially if you're a high level recruit. Try not to get lost in the sauce because it is really easy, especially nowadays with this NIL stuff going on, with college coaches contacting you. It can be easy to get complacent and say, hey, I've done my job. I'm going to go to college for free. But the work is never done. So continue grinding every single day and finding something to get better at. And I challenge that for all of our listeners. Hey, if you're 60, 70, it doesn't matter. Find something to get better at each and every day, Jim. And I challenge you. I'm challenging you, Jim. Get something, get better today at something. And I don't know what it is, but enjoy it and get better and keep grinding.
What's funny is you didn't even have to call me out. As soon as you said 60, I knew, Landon, you were talking about me. I knew it. Anyway, again, as usual, Landon, fantastic information. You really gave, I think, our listeners some insight. We went behind the curtains there a little bit. Thank you so much for that. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.